Welcome to the masterclass. In this lesson, we're building junglist style fills in Ableton Live 12 that feel authentic to old school jungle and drum and bass, but stay lean on CPU and fast to use in real tracks. The big idea here is simple. Don't build massive, overcooked transition chaos. Build a smart little fill system that gives you that classic cut-up break energy, a snare rush, a bit of bass interruption, and one clean DJ style accent. That's enough to make a 16-bar loop feel alive, without loading your session with heavyweight effects and unnecessary layers. In jungle and DnB, fills do a lot of work. They reset the ear, signal that something is about to change, and stop repeated phrases from going stale. In old school jungle especially, a fill often feels like a mini DJ moment. A chopped break, a snare roll, a tiny bass stab, a reverse tail. That's the language we're using today. So let's build the system. First, make a dedicated group track called Fillbus. This is your home for all the transition elements. Keeping everything in one group means you can control the whole fill with one fader, one processing chain, and one workflow. Inside that group, create three audio tracks or three lanes of material: break fill, snare roll, and effects hit. Keep it simple. This is a utility rack, not a sound design monster. For CPU safety and mix clarity, use only light stock processing on the group if needed. An EQ8 high passed around 120 to 180 Hz is a great start, because the fill should not fight the kick and sub. Add a glue compressor only if you need gentle cohesion, and keep it subtle. We're talking maybe 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction, not smashing the life out of it. Utility is your friend for quick gain staging and mono checks. That high pass point is important. In DnB, the low end is sacred. Your fill should add excitement, not steal the sub roll. If the fill bus gets too heavy down low, the whole drop loses punch. Now let's build the break edit fill. Start with one break only. That's that old school move. One chopped break can do way more than a pile of extra percussion if you edit it right. Drag in a classic break loop, or resample your own. Then chop a one bar phrase into small slices. You can use sliced a new MIDI track and play it with simpler, or keep it as audio if you want the raw break character. For the actual phrase, think in four beats. Maybe beat 1 has space or just a ghost hit. Beat 2 gives you a clear snare or break accent. Beat 3 gets more cut up and active. Beat 4 rolls into the transition. That shape creates forward motion without sounding random. If you're using simpler in slice mode, keep it efficient. Classic trigger mode works well. Don't overdo filtering or fancy modulation unless you really need it. Adjust slice start points so the hits feel tight. Use pitch sparingly for small movement, not big melodic jumps. If you're working in audio, keep warping sensible. Beats mode is usually a good choice for breaks, because it preserves transient energy. Let the break breathe. Don't overquantize it into a sterile grid. In fact, one of the best ways to make this feel vintage is to nudge individual hits by tiny amounts, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. That micro imperfection is part of the groove. And speaking of groove, let's make sure the fill actually feels played. Drop a groove from the groove pool if you want a little swing or MPC-style push. Keep the strength modest, around 15 to 35%. Then shape the velocity. This is where the fill becomes musical instead of mechanical. Strong accents should land on the important hits. Ghost notes can sit around 20 to 50 velocity. Main snare accents can live in the 90 to 120 range. That contour gives the fill life and helps it cut through a dense DnB arrangement without just turning it up louder. Now for the snare roll. This one should be short and focused. You do not need a giant cinematic build. A half bar or one bar roll is usually enough. You can build it from a snare sample in simpler, or chop a few snare hits on an audio track. For the movement, use the simplest tools first. Velocity ramps are extremely effective. Start lower, maybe around 55 to 70, then climb toward 100 to 120 on the last hits. If the sample tolerates it, a tiny pitch lift on the final two hits, maybe plus 1 to plus 3 semitones, can add lift. Keep the decay tight if it starts getting muddy. We want a sharp front edge. If you want a touch more tension, automate reverb send on just the final one or two hits. That's usually more effective than washing the whole roll in reverb. A short dark room or plate works better than a massive tail in most jungle and DnB contexts, and it's lighter on CPU too. Next is the bass interruption. This is one of the most important advanced moves, because fills often feel strong when the bass line changes its posture rather than disappearing completely. That's the key. Don't just mute the bass and call it a day. Let it speak in fragments. Duplicate your bass clip and create a short fill variation, maybe one bar or even just two beats. Keep the sub mostly out of it during the fill. Leave a couple of mid-bass hits so the groove still hints at itself. Use rests, give the drum space. If your bass is coming from wavitable, operator, or analog, simplify the phrase. Shorter note lengths, maybe 1/16 to 1/8, can make it punchy and readable. Open the filter just a little on the final hit if you want it to bloom into the next section. A small amount of saturator drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB, can add grime, but keep it controlled. And if you're using stereo width, be careful. The sub should stay centered and stable. Utility is great here for keeping the low-end mono. Another great trick is resampling. If you print the bass phrase to audio, you can grab a tiny fragment and turn it into a rhythmic punctuation mark. That's a very jungle-friendly move. A bass stab can become almost vocal in how it answers the drums. Now add one DJ-style effects hit. Since this lesson sits in a DJ tool's mindset, think like a selector. You want one clear moment that tells the room, here comes the switch. That could be a reversed cymbal, a short final stop-style effect, a resampled atmosphere swell, or even a sharp impact created from your own drum material. Keep it minimal. The effects should frame the fill, not drown it. High pass it around 150 to 250 Hz so it doesn't cloud the low end. Trim the tail so it doesn't smear the next downbeat. If it's too wide, narrow it a bit with utility. And if you need extra emphasis, automate a small gain lift on the final half beat. Just a dB or two is often enough. At this point you've got the core system. Break edit, snare roll, bass interruption, and one FX accent. That's already a powerful fill toolkit. Now let's talk automation, because the best arrangement moves are often the smallest ones. You don't need to automate everything. Just automate what the listener can actually feel. Great targets include a tiny rise in the fill bus volume into the last beat, a reverb send on the final snare accent, and maybe a gentle filter change on a break slice or bass fragment. If you're doing a stronger switch up, you can also adjust width or decay a little, but keep it subtle. The idea is to create anticipation, not a giant obvious effect. A classic structure for this is very simple. The main groove plays steadily for several bars. On the last bar before the drop, the kick may drop out a bit. The break fill takes over, the snare roll rises, the bass interrupts, and the FX hit lands just before the next section. That's classic DNB tension and release. It works because the rhythm shifts before the drop arrives, so the body feels the change even before the brain fully catches up. Now, to keep everything CPU light, print or freeze once the idea works. This is a huge part of the workflow. Resample your fill when it sounds right. Consolidate tiny edits into one audio clip. Freeze or flatten any heavy synth tracks if they're eating resources. Avoid stacking long reverbs, delays, or multiband processors on each individual fill element. If you build a nice fill using MIDI, devices, and automation, print it. Seriously. Once it works, resample it to audio and move on. That keeps the session nimble and makes the fill easier to reuse later. Name the clip clearly, color code the parts, and save the whole thing as a reusable template chunk if you can. In DNB, that kind of organization pays off fast, because you'll reuse transitional language all over the place. A really important note here, always test the fill in context. Don't judge it in solo. A fill can sound huge by itself and still fail in the full mix. Play it against the full drums, the sub, the bass, and the next section's main hook. Ask yourself three things. Is the fill stepping on the kick or sub? Does the transition still hit hard when the bass returns? Can you hear the fill on small speakers without it getting harsh? If the fill disappears, don't just make it louder. Make it clearer. Tighten the edits. Sharpen the accents. Remove a competing bass note. If it feels too busy, cut one element. Usually the FX hit or a redundant ghost note is the first thing to go. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overlayer your fills. Jungle energy comes from editing and rhythm, not just adding more tracks. Don't let the fill own the low end. Keep it high-passed. Don't drown the whole thing in reverb. Use it selectively. Don't quantize every hit perfectly. Micro shifts and groove matter, and don't make the fill too long. Most of the time, one beat to one bar is enough. Sharp ideas hit harder than bloated ones. For darker or heavier DNB, there are some great variations. You can use call and response bass phrasing, where the bass answers the fill with one short mid-bass hit. You can print saturation instead of stacking it live. You can keep the sub locked mono. You can use ghost snare layers with a harsh top end tamed. Tiny pitch dips on the last break slice can make things feel more sinister. And if you want tension without blur, use a reversed room tail or a short noise swell rather than a huge atmospheric wash. Here are a few advanced fill ideas worth trying. A half bar phase flip, where you remove the main backbeat and replace it with syncopated ghost hits. A bass punctuation swap, where the usual line is replaced by one repeated note in a different octave. A break fragment ladder, where three tiny break pieces descend in energy. An answer back fill, where the first bar creates tension and the second bar responds more sparsely. A negative space fill, where the power comes from what disappears. A double time deception, where a burst of 1/32 notes creates a rush without changing the whole groove. Or swing migration, where the fill starts straight and gradually becomes looser toward the last hit.